Wanna buy some crack?
Have toys, we'll travel, reads the card of a douche. He sells action figures both on card and loose. Though he tries to make it interesting, he just can't win. So here's Rish Outfield talking toys again.
Hello, folks. Rish Outfield here. Rish the Outfield here. Presenting to you another one of these episodes where I talk about selling toys. I feel like I was pushing it the second time, doing a second episode, thinking that I had enough to say about that topic. The second time, at least I had my cousin on there to talk for a minute, so there was a bit of novelty there. But this time, I think I'm really pushing it. The truth of the matter is that this episode came about by accident. As you know, Bob.
As you know, Bob.
Thank you. I do a Patreon address for the people that support me on Patreon. Every single month, I do a recording where I talk about what's been going on. I talk about the goals that I've set. And in this month, I was talking about the toy business. I meant to just talk for a couple of minutes, and it stretched out into 5, 6, 7, 8. And then before I got done, the battery died on my recorder. And I didn't realize it until I sat down to edit my Patreon address and discovered that I started talking about something and never finished. And then I just went on to the goals and, you know, the thank you for supporting me on Patreon. Here are your lucky lottery numbers for the coming month. And so I thought, well, what do I do? Do I sit down and re-record all of that for my Patreon? Because things had happened since I had made that recording. Or do I just do a new episode about it? And as you can hear, Bob. I decided to just do a new episode about it. And if you don't like that sort of thing, next week's will be different. In July, we did another one of those booths where we were selling things, and it was so hot.
How hot was it?
That A, nobody showed up, and two, things, the plastic trays that the figures were set in started to melt. That's great. It really is. I mean, you hold on to something for all these years without opening it, trying, at least in my case, to keep them in fairly good shape so that you can sell them when they appreciate in value. And then the sun undoes all of that. Not only did it undo that, but it was hot and miserable. And not only was it hot and miserable, but very few people showed up because of the heat. So I told my cousin, you know, hey, we're not going to do the one in August, right? Because August is the hottest month. We'll just be miserable. And yet he said to me a couple of days ago, I really need the money, though. You know, if I can sell a few things, then I'll be better off than if I take a month off because of the heat. And I had tried talking him out of it a couple of times, but he does seem to need the money. And so I told him, hey, whatever you decide, I will back you. If you decide to get a booth, then I will join you.
Join us.
And, you know, I'll pitch in half the money. Although I shouldn't have said that, because why? I wasn't going to do it. If he insists on doing it, why would I throw in half the money? Oh, I guess it's because it's my month to pay. So we had the big parking lot sale, which was the thing I was most looking forward to. And I was sure that I would do better this time than I did back in April, which was the most I've ever made. I sold a lot of good stuff. And if I had had Venmo, I knew that I would have sold even more because people just kept asking me if I had Venmo. Now I do. So I was very excited about it. I was very anxious and did what I could to load as much as possible into my sister's car. At one point, it was up in the air whether I'd be able to use my sister's car or not, because she has been working a lot and her husband and I have not been getting along. And so my cousin said, well, why don't you come down and you can take our van, which he gave to his daughter to drive when she turned 16. And he said, you can fit so many boxes in a van. You know, I'll just make sure that she has a different car, or you can leave your car for her or something. And I said, oh, that's a good idea, but I think it's fine with my sister's car. She hasn't said no. Besides, I didn't want to spend 90 minutes driving down to his house, switching cars, and then driving all the way back, because I knew I would have a tremendous amount of time to load it. I would be alone. Nobody would be helping me load. And it's August, and I've been sweaty and dirty, and I just didn't want to add 90 minutes to it. And it turned out that I wasn't able to display two of the boxes that I did take up. Things just stayed in the boxes. I didn't have enough room. And so there would have been no point to getting her van, except for that there was more room and I could have possibly brought up more. And we're going to do one in November. That's inside a mall. They're having a Comic-Con and they were looking for vendors. And I thought, well, I'll do that. I'll use the van then. But it's still the problem of displaying everything, of putting everything out. We both got this idea of getting these shelves. They're little portable shelving units that you can pack together as like a little crate, and then you can unpack them and use them as shelves. And they're plastic, they're fairly cheap. And I know a guy who sells like scratch and dent stuff, and he had one, and I drove up there to get it, and somebody had already beaten me to it. And he said, oh, you should have Venmo'd. And I was like, I didn't think I needed to Venmo because I live a single town away. It takes me 15 minutes to get there. And I drove up as soon as you opened. And he's like, well, you should have Venmo'd. This is a sidetrack. This doesn't have anything to do with it, but I wanted to tell you this. The guy, he's a friendly guy, but he's very, very not self-assured. What do you call it where somebody talks themselves up a great deal? That's right. Aggrandizing, self-aggrandizing. He always boasts about how much money he makes and how he used to do little swap meets, the kind of things that my cousin and I have been doing. But then he got too big for that and he opened his own store and he makes tons of money. In fact, he reminds me a little bit of Dom, who sells the used toys in the mall at the store that I've talked to you before about. But he used to have a helper in the back and then him. And then he always had a receptionist. And the last couple of times that I've gone in, it has been just him. And this time he explained that he's just on his own now and it's better that way. And he said, well, you know, the receptionist girl that I had here for a couple of years, she quit. Well, actually, I fired her. And that's the whole reason I'm mentioning this, is because he said that she quit. Well, actually, I fired her. One of those two statements has to be a lie. And I wondered, why are you lying? Why are you trying to make yourself sound cooler? It doesn't make me think less of you if she quit. There's a certain politician who lies constantly. And this reminded me of him. Well, actually, we did win. And I wonder, you know, I'm not a psychologist, but I do play one. And I wonder what the psychological underpinning would be for lying about his receptionist. There have to be people who pick up on untruths like that way easier than I do. But it just, you know, you can't say two contradictory statements in two back-to-back sentences without somebody picking up on it. Like if I said to you, I'm in between jobs at the moment. Well, actually, I run my own business. Those aren't necessarily contradictory, but I think by the well, actually, you would know that I was lying. Not sure that it matters. Anyway, he had sold the stand to somebody else during the night. And so when I got there, as soon as it opened, he had it, but he wouldn't sell it to me. It had already been taken. He said I should have Venmo'd him. And so I said, okay, next time you get one in, I will Venmo you. And I got his card. It has the little QR code on it. Anyway, my cousin and I, we went up there, and because it's August, the thing was supposed to go from 12 to 3, but they were worried that it would be too hot, and so they changed it from 10 to 2. So you do get an extra hour there, but you also get less of the heat of the day. And last time we did it, the owner had said, you know, even though it starts at noon, people will start showing up at 10, 9:30, and it's up to you whether you want to sell to them or not. My cousin said, well, if somebody wanted to buy something from me, why on earth would I tell them no? And he's right. Makes sense. But because it was going from 10 to 2 this time, we decided to show up even earlier than we did last time. Last time, he showed up about 8:10, 8:15. I showed up about 8:30. And so we tried to show up before 8. And last time, we didn't get to be together. And this time, we tried to organize it so we'd get there at the same time and we could for sure be together. And it did work out that way, except for I had so filled my sister's SUV that I couldn't see out the side view mirror, and the rear view mirror was just, you know, I could see a box. And so I was really nervous about driving around in the city with no visibility. Like any time that I needed to turn, like on the freeway, I would signal, I would wait, I would start slowly to move into my lane, and I thought, well, someone will honk, right? Or someone will get out of the way if they see me. Luckily, I slammed into no one. But it was a little bit scary, I gotta admit. I always wonder if this sort of thing is interesting to you. And I said that in the toy episode that was all about this, that I think that a good storyteller can make anything interesting. But I do worry. I do want you to be entertained. So in the words of Maximus,
are you not entertained?
So, I was worried. Every single time I took a right turn, that I would crash into something. And so, for that purpose, for that point only, I should have taken my cousin up on his van. We drove up there, and I got there just a couple minutes after he did. But because I was worried about turning right, I called him to have him help me pull into the parking lot. I didn't want to run anything over, and he didn't pick up. And what happened is, I guess he had his phone charging, and he was out of the van and, you know, unloading boxes. So what I did is I went all the way around the block so that I wouldn't have to make any right turns. And like 3 minutes later, I pulled up next to him and we got in a spot together, which I had explained back in April. It was a pain not having a spot with him, even though I had my nephew with me because he could man the booth while I looked around. But I really wanted to look around that day, and there were certain things I didn't get to see. And so our idea was, if we have booths next to one another, then he can watch my stuff and I can watch his stuff. If there are customers while I'm gone, he can deal with them and vice versa. And that did work out better. And I gotta say, I snuck away so much more this time than I did the first time. And that's partly because of the setup with the two of us sitting next to each other, but it's also partly because there were fewer customers. Now, I had mentioned that I'd gotten the Venmo. I had brought more stuff this time than the last time. And yet, business wasn't nearly as good. Last time, I did very, very well. And it was the very first time I had done that, where I'd been trying to sell stuff. And I had every indication that I would do better this time. there was something that sold instantly last time, and then people kept asking me about it, and so I made sure to bring that and set it up first thing, and nobody even asked about it. And I did find that one of the other booths had the same item, but in slightly better condition and for $50 less. So that might have been a factor. But anyhow, it was nice weather. We had our sunscreen on, which was another lesson that we had learned from the first one.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen.
And yet, the crowds did not come. And when I would go around to other people's booths and ask how they were doing, they all said something along the lines of, all right, I'm doing okay, I'm doing good, but not as good as back in April. So it was a universal sensation. I remember when my nephew and I were breaking down all the tables and getting ready to go, a family stopped by and they had just seen, oh, you guys are having a toy show? And we're like, well, we're almost done now. And they had kids with them, and the kids were like, oh, I want this. Or, would you have any of these? And we said, well, yeah, we do, if you'd like it. And they said, we would, but we don't have any money. Can you stick around long enough for us to go to the ATM and come back? And I said, sure, you know, we're still breaking down the tables and boxing everything up. It, you know, it'll take us a good 15, 20 minutes to be done. But what happened was they came back like a half hour later. My nephew and I had piled everything into the car. And yeah, that was the time when I had bought like the big Millennium Falcon, and I didn't have room in the car for what I had bought. I was just like, but I sold so much stuff. Like, what? And I think part of it is just that we didn't box things up as efficiently because we were in a hurry and we were super sunburned. But the other part is that, yeah, you need to sell more than you buy. Otherwise, you're screwed on the way home. I had ended up giving my cousin a couple of things and said, hey, can you throw these in your van, please? And I'll pick them up later. And then the family came, and they had decided to buy something from my nephew rather than me, which is totally fine. But it was bothersome that we had sat there waiting, and then I didn't get a sale out of it. But oh well. We were in it together. Anyhow, the weather was warm, but not hot. And my cousin and I had learned from each one of these that we had done to the point where now we set up our two canopies side by side, but not directly next to each other. And in between the two canopies, we hang one of his tarps. And then on the sides of the canopies, we hang the other tarps. And so we're enclosed on three sides, and then we have an extra bit of roof. He buys another tarp every time we do one of these toy shows. And I'm glad that he does, because I make use of them every single time. But this parking lot sale was just for collectibles, right? Just for figures and toys. And so a lot of other sellers had some really good stuff. And most of the things that I tend to buy at these shows are things that I can turn around and resell. I've been known to buy people's whole collections, right? And there were a couple, though, of people that had like old Star Wars stuff or like some of the new, really, really nice, like legacy collection stuff. And I was tempted by a couple of things, but I wasn't there to buy. I was there to sell. And the things that they were selling, you know, they wanted like $300, $450, you know, that kind of thing. And this was the right venue for that because it was all collectibles. And the ones that we do here in town, outside the mall, it's mostly vintage clothes and then other kinds of things. And he and I sell action figures. But there's not a lot of people that show up looking for action figures. And so I had talked to people that's their side hustle, is that they sell toys at various shows on the weekends. And at least during the summer months, there is enough demand for that kind of thing. There are enough shows going on that you could have an activity almost every single weekend. And that's kind of cool. Big lives in a much bigger city, and I get the feeling that they don't have all of that much stuff going on all the time. But it may be that he needs to hook up with... I missed my exit. I'm sorry, I feel stupid. And contagious. Here we are now. Entertain us. But look, if you have some high-end thing, then this is the place to sell it. Because a lot of the people that were looking to buy were looking to spend $500, $600, $700. And that's cool. Give me just one second. I made a wrong turn. I'm going to try and catch up. It may be that if Big signed up with a Facebook toy group, that he could find these kind of activities more often. But anyhow, I enjoy doing it because it's a social activity with me and my cousin, and I like to hang out with him. But there have been times that have been better than others, and there was that day when I sold nothing at all, and yet I had to pay to be there, and that's not a good feeling. And the funny thing is that one of the vendors had some real high-end stuff. Like, he had a Han Solo in carbonite, full-sized replica that he wanted $1,500 for. And sure enough, I saw somebody walking out carrying that. And I thought, one person can carry that Han in carbonite? What is it made of? But yeah, I suppose it's possible it's just made of cheap plastic. And that same vendor had some other cool stuff and expensive prop replicas and stuff. But he also had the unpainted cheap Millennium Falcon that I bought at the last one. He had another one. And I was tempted to buy it because it wasn't very expensive. And I thought, well, I've been painting this one, and it's really relaxing, it's really enjoyable. I'll put a podcast on and I'll just paint for a few minutes. And I nearly bought it. But the reason that I didn't was because I've had this Millennium Falcon, the first one that I bought, for months. And I've only painted on it a couple of days. And so, it's not a priority that I get another one of these things. Maybe after I finish mine and there's no more work to do on it, I could get another one and I try and sell the one that I have, but you know what I'm saying, right? So anyhow, that was a fun day, but it was not a windfall. And I guess I did better than my cousin, which is not always the case. For example, that day that I made nothing, nothing sold but two Hot Wheels, and the guy that bought them was the guy who had taken my money for a booth there. On that day, my cousin actually had enough sales that he made a profit that day. And yet, there are days that he fails and there are days that I succeed. At the end of the day, I felt like it had been a good day, just not a great day. And the owner of the parking lot, I don't know if you say owner.
I don't know.
That doesn't count of the parking lot. It's the parking lot of his business where we did our toy trade. When we did it in April, I had asked him, I said, well, why don't you charge even like $10 or $20 a person for us to sell? And that way, it would be totally worth your while. And he said, well, then I would have to have insurance if something were to happen to one of you. And I would have to provide a bathroom, and I'm not going to do that.
No!
And my cousin had brought his daughter along, and at one point she had to go to the bathroom. And he said to her, I have no idea where you can go to the bathroom, but walk up the street until you find a business that has a bathroom. Which is not the most convenient situation to have to go find a place with a bathroom that is open. You know what I mean? Anyhow, this year, as I was setting everything up, he said to me, this is the last time I'm going to be able to do this for free. I'm going to have to start charging next time. And I wondered, well, but you had said about the bathroom and you had said about insurance. Huh, what's going to happen?
I don't!
Who knows? But maybe if you charge everybody $20 or $50 or $75 a space, you can afford to get like a honey wagon in there. So that was the parking lot sale, as they call it. And the next week was the one that we do at the mall. And my cousin and I weren't planning on doing it. I've already said that. But see, it was in the future when I said it before, and now it's in the past. And right at the last minute, it was on a Saturday, and on Thursday, my cousin said, I need the money. I think I'm going to do it. And I said to him, well, you know, whatever you say is fine. If you want me to come and help you sell stuff, that's cool. If you want me to set up next to you like I always do, that's cool too. Or if you want me just to stay at home, I get that. And he said, no, just come and sell next to me. Maybe we'll have a better time. Maybe in July, the person who runs the outdoor swap meet had said to us, you want to come back in August because the students will be back. And so there will be a big crowd of young people. And I was just like, I've been a student. Students don't have any money. The stuff we are selling is for people with disposable incomes. But at the last minute, my cousin said, I need the money. I got to do it. And so I said, okay, well, I'll be there. And I've gotten a little faster at this than I used to. I have the containers set up. And my cousin has them all in brown cardboard boxes. And he's got written on each box, you know, what goes into that box. And then he always puts things back exactly where they were. It's not a bad setup, but I haven't managed to do that. Every single time I unload the boxes and then I load them back up at random and just, you know, whatever empty container is most convenient to me. But one of these times, maybe I could try that. I could try writing on, and you know, the very first one that we did back in April, I had written on each of the storage containers. You know, those big plastic containers that you get for moving, or in my case, you fill your storage unit with them. And something that I may have said in the past, but it bears repeating, is that these little outdoor swap meet things, it's people that had nothing better to do. They drive by and they go, oh, I think I'll check that out. Lots and lots of kids with their parents or kids with their grandparents. And so if we had toys that were $1, toys that were $2, maybe we would sell a lot more. But I have almost nothing like that. I've got some Transformers that I bought, loose Transformers, and they're always missing pieces. They're always, some of them are beat to hell, but you just buy them secondhand. And so I paid so little for them that I bring them. But even those, you know, once they're 10 years old or 15 years old, They're more than a dollar. $5 is probably the cheapest Transformers that I have. And it doesn't work for that stuff with the grandparents that are out with their kids. My cousin's got some of those little teeny non-articulated, they call them slugs in the industry, figures. He'll sell them for $1 or $2 a piece. And he seems to move quite a few of those in a given week. You know, I have something similar. Maybe I will try that. We'll see. So these get-togethers, now that I've done multiples of them, you start to see the same faces over and over again. I start to have people recognize me and say, hey, Rish, which is nice. And there's a guy that used to work with Big over at the TV station. I've talked to about him before. He seems to be the only normal one in the whole bunch. Like every time I talk to him, he repeats the exact same bit of conversation from the last time and the time before that. And so maybe he's not completely all there. We have had this discussion before, right? Where I start to wonder if maybe I have those kind of tendencies and it's been kept from me my whole life. Nobody has ever told you that you're colorblind. You're like, wait, what? So all those times that I said something was brown and somebody else said that it was purple, they hadn't lost their minds. I was seeing the wrong color. You know, something like that. Oh, the point I was trying to make is that you get to know some of these people and the things that they like, the things that they're selling. And I tend to be pretty set in my ways and I like what I like and I don't care what other people like. I've never been a huge fan of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but I don't hate them. I do hate the Power Rangers, however, but I've found out that there are people that absolutely love the Power Rangers. It means something to them. I guess to them, it's their Star Wars. And, you know, intercoursing with some of these people, I have found that, you know, there are folks that absolutely love the Star Wars prequels and feel about the sequels or Disney Star Wars, as they call it, the way that I felt about the prequels or feel about the prequels, or it's hard to say. You know, I have a Star Wars podcast and I don't do it with Marshall very often anymore, but
Marshall?
I found the prequel films to be inferior in almost every single way to the original trilogy. And then that third one came out and I hated it. And it tainted the whole experience. I mean, the prequels were already tainted. But it's like I can find things that I like in Phantom Menace fairly easily, actually. And there are a couple of things that I like in Episode 2. But, oh my goodness, I hate that third movie and people love it. And so maybe we're the same. Just they feel that way about the sequel movies and I feel that way about the prequel movies and never the twain shall meet. But you get to know these people, you get to know what their passions are. And directly across from us at our booth was a guy who had made custom items with 3D printing. He'd made thrones and he'd made backdrops. And the things that I liked the most were he had made original trilogy Tatooine stuff. Like he had made the moisture evaporator that Luke Skywalker had on his farm. And he'd made like the entrance to the cantina and the various archways and tables and things like that, which I recognized to be from that first Star Wars movie. And he and I talked quite a bit because whenever somebody wasn't around my booth, I would either wander off to see what other people were selling at theirs, or I would make small talk with the people around me. And the guy directly on one side of me was just selling Funko Pops. You know, never the twain shall meet. I don't get the appeal of Funko Pops, but I understand that they're a $1 billion seller. And the guy on the other side, he was selling all sorts of figures, mostly new stuff that you can only get on the internet. And so there was a big markup on all of that. And then there was this guy across from me. And I told you about my cousin, Matthew, who is really, really ill. And he's never gotten better. And I mean, in fact, he's gotten worse. And that he had a couple of 3D printers, and he was an artist, and he would design 3D print, what do you call them? Patterns or recipes or whatever you call that. And it was something that I was always interested in, and I always wanted to participate in that. I always wanted to be able to do that or find out how that stuff was done. And in the back of my mind, it was always like, well, when Matthew gets better, he can explain all of this stuff to me, and he can show me how those 3D printers work and stuff, but he never did. There are so many interesting things in the world. In between recording sessions today, I went to a store called Second and Charles, that is a giant bookstore that also sells collectibles and music and movies and all that stuff. But a lot of it is used. And I went in that store and I just saw thousands and thousands of items. And I was only really looking for things that I could resell, because everything was so expensive unless it was used, in which case things could be really, really cheap. But the two or three things that I thought, I would have that either in my collection or to resell, just cost too much. And so I didn't end up buying anything, but I was in there for an hour or so, and it just was so interesting to see the various licenses and the various displays. And there would be displays for a single author and have all of their books displayed along with tchotchkes that matched the genre of the books. And so many of them, I had never read the author even once. And just to read all the books that I have interest in would be the rest of my life. You know what I mean? It's such a commitment to read a book. To buy all of the fill in the blank would be a fortune in money. I walked out without buying anything. But at the same time, I was just like, what a cool store. I can't wait. I'll put this in my rotation and I'll go like twice a month to this store. What a cool store. But I guess I'm mentioning it to illustrate that everybody's got something that they're passionate about. And my buddy, Big Anklevich, thank you. He loves certain characters or things. And one of the things that he loves is the Hulkbuster armor of Iron Man. And he will try and buy one of everything that is Hulkbuster, as long as it's inexpensive enough that he can afford it. Because there are like $500, $600, $800 Hulkbusters out there. But this had three statues, Hulkbuster statues. And I looked them up on eBay, and they go for about $100 each, you know, between $80 and $100. And they wanted $25 each for them. And I nearly bought it. Going to get one for Big, and then I was going to sell the other two. But the boxes were so heavy that I thought, oh boy, this is going to cost upwards of $20 to ship. And then I looked at one carefully, and the paint was really bad. Like, Big and I had painted it ourselves, but we'd been in a hurry. You know, some of the stuff that Big has done on his collectibles, they look just beautiful. They look insanely good. But, you know, stuff that I have painted with a bigger brush and a crappier kind of paint looked like this did. And so I didn't end up buying any of it. But, going back, it's like, what do I love? Like, Big loves the Hulkbuster, and I don't think that there's anything.
And now it's time to... What is this?
All right, folks, once again, I've corralled my cousin Ryan into podcasting with me. And boy, did he squeal. Thank you for joining me again.
If you pull the knife out of my back, I can talk better. Yeah, he doesn't like doing this.
And I never said that.
Well, okay, I've always gotten the impression he doesn't like doing this. And the other day we did another one of those parking lot sales, and we had competitors for the first time. There was another booth of guys selling Transformers. And at one point I was talking to them about the guy that runs the used toy store in the mall. And they, one of them, who absolutely hates that guy, says, "We call him Voldemort because," and I said, "because he's he who cannot be named." And he goes, "Exactly." And I said, "Yeah, I call him Dom on my podcast." And then later, one of the guys came up to me and said, "You have a podcast? Can I be on it?" And I said to him, "Well, we did one episode, my cousin and I, and he didn't want to do it anymore. He felt like he never had anything to contribute, and I got the impression that he didn't enjoy it." And the guy said, "Oh," and then he walked away. But here we are again.
No, I enjoy it. I was actually on a podcast of my own many years ago, and I think we recorded 3 episodes, maybe 4. And then they said I was too negative about Marvel Legends, and we couldn't get together anymore anyway.
Oh, you are too negative about Marvel Legends,
the greatest toy line of all time.
Yeah, but it wasn't really my toy line. Oh, and I was also too negative about Transformers at that time. That was when the Combiner Wars series came out.
You were too negative.
Oh, I really didn't like that Stunticon set. I was really disappointed with it.
All right. So they replaced you, or they just ended the podcast?
We just ended. One of them was in Florida, one of them was in Kentucky or Tennessee or something, and then I was, you know, here in the West, so it was difficult to find time when we could all get together anyway. The other guy had younger kids, and it was just scheduling conflicts mainly.
Oh, okay, so going back to the topic at hand, we keep having negative experiences at these parking lot sales, in the mall parking lot, and yet...
We go every time.
And yeah, you keep doing it, yeah. And like a bad marksman, you keep missing the target. Every time you say, "Okay, we're going to do it again." And it's like, "But last time you said you didn't sell anything." And you're like, "Well."
I was hopeful I would sell more. I felt really hopeful that night before when I was packing stuff into the car for it.
Yeah, you said something along the lines of, "We're going to make $1,000 tomorrow." And yet, it's a series of diminishing returns.
It is.
It's worse every time. For you, at least.
It has been, yeah.
I was talking to a guy yesterday who used to sell at the swap meet. And he was encouraging me to do the swap meet. And he said, you know, the best months are always going to be like March and April. And he claims it's because everybody is cooped up all winter long. They want an excuse to go out, and maybe they've been saving their money and they want an excuse to spend it. And then it's like March and April are just excellent. And then May and June, well, it goes down a little. And then July and August, it's crashed and burned. It's the lowest. Nobody wants to go out when it's 100 degrees. Nobody wants to spend any money. And then it starts getting better again, September and October. And I was just like, if that's true, then that is what we have been experiencing.
Yeah, that matches our experience. Because wasn't April the first one we did in the parking lot? And I did really well at that one. And it's been a little bit less each time. Till the last 2 times it were a lot less. Embarrassingly less.
Yeah, and hey, you're being too negative again. really, the only reason that I wanted us to talk about this, the only noteworthy thing about last Saturday was what happened at the end. And it was so unusual that I thought, oh, well, we got to talk about that. Because it was like the big college homecoming game of football happened to be at the exact same time that we were trying to sell stuff. And it was a ghost town. And the organizer came by, and he's always nice. And he always thanks us for coming and hopes that we're selling a lot. And I understand that, you know, if we are successful, then he's successful.
Then we'll come back, yeah.
You know, each time is a little bit worse. And I had told him that the last time. He said, "Oh, I'm not sure if we're going to still do it." And he said, "Well, you know, I could give you guys a discount." because normally they want $95 to do it. And he said that if we signed up for the next one, and if I paid him in cash, it would be $70. So that's $25 off, which I think is a pretty sweet deal. And he came by, and it was, you know, an hour or so into the game. And apparently, like, the whole city had gone to this football game. And at one point, I went to my storage unit, you know, with my head hanging low to start unloading stuff. And I could hear that damn football game, even at the storage unit. I was just, But, you know, I have issues. I hate football the way that most people hate. Rectal cancer, you know, Hitler, things like that. So the guy came by, and it was an hour or so into the game. He was the one that told us that that's where everybody is. That's, you know.
And that was one of the things he had mentioned the previous time to me about, you know, school will be back in session at this September sale. And so we'll have all the college people from the two local colleges, and that will really help boost the traffic. And so
I live in a town that doubles in size when school is in session. And so, yeah, when he'd said that, yeah, all the students will be in town, and, you know, so you'll have lots more sales. I didn't know if logic followed with that, because I was like, students don't have any money.
Well, man, unless they're all kids from California on their parents' dime.
Yeah, that's what you said.
But if nothing else, it's more people. And so that, just in theory, should increase the likelihood of sales. And then there was the dang football game.
Anyway, he came by and he explained the football game thing. And I said, well, is that about to end soon? You know, will there be a big influx of people? And he's just like, no. Those football games go about 4 hours. You know, you'll be long gone by the time it ends. I was just like, oh, well, that's too bad. I've done all right. But my cousin, I think this is the saddest I've ever seen him. At our grandmother's funeral, he wasn't this bummed. And the guy's just like, oh, no. Well, look, I told you the next one would be $70. What if I made it $50? Would that cheer him up? And I said, well, I don't know. I'll have to talk to him. You know, just walk around and say hi to other booths, and I'll see if I can cheer him up, see if I, you know, I can get him. And then, you know, the second he was gone, I was just like, oh, he just knocked another $20 off. And you're like, well, that doesn't help me, but...
Well, it didn't help me for that day, for sure, but it does make me more willing to give it another shot.
Yeah, that's almost half price. 95 yeah. to 50 means that you have to sell half as much stuff to make profit. I hope that he's right. I hope that the guy that runs the shop is right, and that things will start picking up again. This next one that you and I are going to go on for 50 is the last outdoor one. And then they make the shift to inside, where we won't need the canopy anymore. But it's going to be a pain to get all of our tables and all of our boxes and stuff inside the mall.
And didn't they say we might have less space?
That's true. Right now, I think we've explained, we have so much space, enough space that you can park your car there and then set up the canopies in front of the car. And then set up tables in front of the canopy. We could have three booths worth of space.
They're not particular at all on the space, really. I think we could expand as much as we wanted, and they would be fine with it. But inside, there'll be a lot more strict.
Now, did he also say it was more expensive once it moved?
I thought they had maybe said that last time, but I don't know for sure.
I don't know!
Or maybe it was the same price, but it's a smaller area, so it seems more expensive.
Yeah, I think he had said that we'd each have to get a booth to be the same size that we're currently at. I think we'll try it, probably. We'll try one of the ones in October, and if it doesn't go well, then that's the last time we'll do it this year, probably. There is one in November that is in an indoor mall, and they're having a Comic-Con at the same time. And apparently they did it last year. And it had thousands of people. Now, but whenever somebody says thousands, I am dubious because I grew up in a town of less than 1,000 people. And so to me, 1,000 people is everybody in my hometown going to the same place at the same time. You know what I mean? And we would have that you know, for like the 4th of July thing. Oh, yeah, there would be a rodeo, and everybody would come out, like kids would all get to ride the fire engine. And so that's, in my mind, it's like that is 1,000 people, even though I'm sure it wasn't even half that, because ours was a farming community of people ready to die. And so I'm sure the elderly weren't coming out to go to the rodeo and such. But if the one in November, which cost, what, 3 times what we're used to paying? 4 times what we're used to paying?
No, it was only twice, wasn't it?
Well, it was $300, wasn't it?
For both of us, though.
Right, but usually we go in together.
You're right. My math is bad there. 95 for both of us, and it was 300 for both of us this time. But it's 2 days, and it's indoor, which is nice.
And it's November, so maybe it's people are gearing up to Christmas. I hope that it's great. And we'd had this idea of we fill up your van and then your daughter's van, and we both go up there. We unload the stuff. We leave it overnight, and we sell so much stuff on the first day that we come down and fill up the van again on the second day. Now, of course, that's wishful thinking. That's unrealistic and all that. But sometimes, you know, people pitch things and you think, holy cow, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I would love that.
I hope so. And maybe they pitch that so that they have people like us willing to spend $150 to have
each
a booth. Each, right. So they had the parking lot sale, and I already talked a little bit about it, that neither of us, that nobody there did as well this time as they did back in April. And that there's a number of factors, I guess. It was only 55 degrees back in April, and this time it was 90, right?
It was 90-something, yeah. But it wasn't terrible hot. Like in July when it was 104 or whatever, and everybody wanted to die and our stuff was melting. This seemed a pretty mild 90-something, I thought, honestly. There was a slight breeze every now and again.
Well, I never got an explanation. I would ask everybody, how are you guys doing? And to a person, they all said, well, not as good as last time. And I would ask them, well, why do you think that is? And there would be all sorts of different reasons. And, you know, whether it's how high gas prices were, what the temperature was, or it's supposed to rain later, or Hunter Biden.
The football game.
But the best explanation that I heard was that everybody has money before summer, and at the end of summer, everybody has gone on their trips and their vacations and Disneyland, and they've spent all of their money, and what little money they had left, they spent on back to school. So nobody has toy money. I'm not sure. It's impossible to predict, and this is something I think we've talked about. It's like the very first one we went to, like 8 or 9 people asked about G.I. Joes, and so both of us got G.I. Joes. And nobody has given a single crap about G.I. Joe since then. But one thing that you seemed to have always sold very well were these little tiny action figure slugs, which you were selling for $3 a piece. And so on this past week, I got a bunch. I got like 50 of them. And I think I sold 14 or 15 for $3 a piece. And so I thought, oh, shoot, I got to do this more and more. And I know that I have a box in the storage unit that has hundreds of them in it. And so
you need to find that. Yeah, I brought a lot more low-cost stuff this time. A bunch of comic trade paperbacks for $5 each. I thought for sure some of those would sell because they're only $5. And anytime anybody looked through them, a lot of times I even said something like, buy 3, get 1 free. I sold one. The entire day. I brought a ton of these little 2 to 3 inch long Star Wars vehicles from whenever those were, the early 2000s, the Star Wars Titaniums line. Tons of them, and a lot of those were $5 or $10 each, and not a single one of those sold. So I don't know why.
I don't know!
Between the football game not getting all of the college students, and then the idea that people spend all their money over the summer and then got ready for school. That's a plausible sounding explanation.
Well, if we're back months from now talking about the November one and we just made so much money that it's just like, yeah, if it had been $300 each, it would have been worth it. I would be thrilled. But I was only slightly exaggerating when I told the guy that you were super bummed. You had brought your daughter and your daughter's friend or cousin. Something like that. And these kids, they would try and help you sell, which I thought was really neat. They had a box of these toys and they would like hold them out to anybody that passed by or would say, do you like Star Wars? Yet it was the wrong day. It didn't do well. And what usually happens on these parking lot sales is that in about an hour or an hour and a half before it's time to go, we start talking about maybe we should start boxing things up. And that would not be the case if there was just like a long line of people interested in buying our stuff. These things usually go until 3 o'clock, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And by like 1:30 or 2, nobody cares. Nobody is there. And
oh, yeah. I think we saw at least 2 booths that had packed up already and left by then. So, yeah, I pulled out a box and slowly started putting a few things away. And then somebody came and did buy something. Oddly enough, out of the box of things I had put away even. So I said, all right, I'll hold off for a little bit. Maybe more people are coming. I won't put things away for a bit.
I also contributed to that because I said every single time we start to put things away, somebody comes up and goes, oh, you guys are leaving? Like they would have bought something if we hadn't been doing it. So let's at least stay until 3 o'clock today. And boy, was that a mistake. If only I had listened to you. What was your first indication that something was wrong?
The girls, I had them go around back behind the booth and put something in the van. And they said, or I took down one of the tarps on the side just because the sun, it got cloudy enough that the sun wasn't really shining in on that side. So I thought, well, I'll just take this one tarp off because it was sort of one of the places where people entered the area anyway. And so they could see into my booth from that side. And then I think I had them put it in the van or something. They said, oh, no, it's raining. And what they really meant was they felt a single drop. And to them, that means rain. And to me, that means it's no big deal. We don't get heavy rain hardly ever. So I thought nothing of it when they said it was raining, sprinkling. And then what? 10 minutes later, it was actually starting to noticeably sprinkle? Or did the wind kick up first? I don't remember.
I feel like it was the wind first. Because see, I will always like have a bunch of the larger Transformers, and then I will put a box of smaller Transformers on the larger ones, and every time they blow over. Every time.
Every time.
This was the first time I'd ever seen everything blow over. And it blew off at the same time. It was just like dominoes. Like 14, 15, 18 figures blew over at the same time. I was just like, oh, that was weird. Because, you know, it was like somebody had pushed them all over. And it's just like, what? But the wind couldn't blow that hard to knock over all those things. That's strange. But we took it as a sign. And yeah, I think at this point the kids had said, oh, it's starting to rain. We took it as a sign. Let's get our stuff out of here as fast as we can. But it was too late.
It was too late.
So that big gust of wind that blew over 14 or 15 figures was just like the advanced scout of the wind. And what had happened was this big gust of wind had come along and it picked up all the grit and dirt and dust from the ground and it blew it against us and it would knock over 3, 4, 5 things. And then another one would come and, I mean, it would get in your face and your eyes. It hurt when it hit. And it got in our ears. It was behind, my hair was full of it.
Filled with gravel. Like we'd been playing on a beach and rolling in the sand. That's how much gravel I washed out of my hair when I got home.
And so as fast as I could, instead of organizing and trying to put everything in boxes carefully so you could get it all in, I just started stacking and putting it. Okay, this box is done. And then I'd set it down and I'd start filling up another box, and the wind came. It was strong enough that it was tipping over the boxes, sending the contents flying. And then it got worse.
It blew everything off of at least 2 of the tables. Every single figure was boxed figures, loose figures, every single one of them was on the ground. And all of the empty boxes that were under the tables, they didn't blow around too much, but they all tipped over and then started catching all of the dirt and the leaves and the gravel that was blowing around too. And yeah, I feel like it was the second gust of wind. I was trying to carry something to the car, And I just felt every inch of my back, arms, legs being pelted with gravel. And I can't remember if I've ever experienced a wind like that before.
And yeah, the wind blew just right that it went underneath the canopy and tried to take it. And I had grabbed one corner. Your daughter was on the back. You were on the other side. And strangers ran over and grabbed the corners because the wind wanted to take it. You could feel it pulling like a person was pulling on it. And we looked around and other people, they were not so lucky. Like entire tables blew over. Canopies blew away. And did you witness this thing with the lady in the...
No, because he made it sound like it was on the far end from us. But yeah, what did he say? One lady's canopy just completely got taken in the air, slammed into somebody else's canopy or shelves or something. And then his truck, too. And did it say dented the truck or scratched it or something? And the guy was throwing a fit, yelling at the lady because the wind carried her canopy away. I had weights on our canopies, only two on each one. But like you said, there were two or three people holding each of them down. So if she was by herself, I would not be surprised if the wind yanked it out of her hands, even though she was trying to hold it down. There was nothing she could have done about it. It was a crazy strong gust of wind.
And we've sort of befriended this guy that sells Funko Pops. And he said the entire shelves of Funko Pops just flew into the air and didn't come back down. Like he said that what is a Doctor Who?
I think, yeah. A rare Doctor Who. He said it was one of the older doctors. He didn't say which one.
He says the wind took it and he found the head and never found the rest of it.
Yep.
It was weird because you only have two arms. And it's like, what do I hold on to? What do I steady? And everything wanted to go. And your stuff went into my section, and my stuff went into the neighbor section. And the neighbor, and on and on and on. We had people from like 3-4 booths away bring our stuff to us. Yeah, there were like bags and stuff that the wind just took up in the air. They were gone.
Yep. One of the bags for my camp chairs just vanished. And I'm sure it just blew off somewhere. Maybe it ended up in somebody else's truck. Maybe it was 3 blocks away. And at some point in all of this wind, it did start sprinkling noticeably too. So I was trying to throw my comics and my books in a box first because I thought those are going to get ruined by the water. But then the wind knocked over the shelf that had the expensive Star Trek ships that I wish I wouldn't have brought because I knew they weren't going to sell anyway. The whole thing got blown over and the ships are scraping along the parking lot. Luckily, it doesn't look like any of the loose ones got damaged. One of the ones in the box, I think, did get damaged. I still haven't opened it to look at it for sure. But it looks like the whole section that the nacelles are on separated from the ship just because the box got blown over so hard. I had a box, it's a plastic bubble on a card of those Disney Infinity figures, and when it fell over, I don't know if it landed just right to maybe sort of pop a hole in the glue separating the bubble and the card, but it ripped it open all the way. It was an unopened set, and now it's a loose set because it just ripped the card right off. I had a couple other things that were damaged, getting blown off of the table, that, a couple of box things that are definitely openers now. I had a little Star Wars ship that included a sort of plastic fishbowl over top of it, so it was a nice, quote-unquote, display item. And that thing hit the pavement hard and rolled, or other things shoved it along, so it scratched all up. The lid is worthless now.
You see, if I had just let you pack up your stuff, or followed your lead, some of this destruction would have been avoidable. And, like, your kids were really, really trying to help.
They were. Gather
up everything, and yet, it didn't matter. They put them in the container, and then the container would tip over, and the stuff would scatter again.
Yep.
And it was infuriating, because, I would stack the containers on top of each other. So these are like 20 pounds.
You have three of them stacked next to each other, three deep and three tall, and did that whole wall get blown over at some point?
It did, and the lids came off and blew away.
Blew halfway down the parking lot.
And yeah, meanwhile, it is raining, it's sprinkling, and then everything that is wet is coated with this dust, dirt, with this dirt. And so it made everything filthy. I had to go through things with wet wipes, baby wipes, like you wipe babies' butts with, on each one of these items. And my hands were so dirty. My fingernails had so much grit under it. And each one of those containers, just like you said, had just leaves and dirt and rocks and filth inside them.
Yeah, I haven't gone through most of mine yet to clean them all up. It's just, it's so much. It's almost disheartening because I had everything sorted and the boxes were labeled with what's in them. And yeah, two or three of them I got packed up, organized, and the rest is just throw everything in a box and lean it up against the car so it will quit tipping over. You'd think a box that was full of all these toys wouldn't blow over, but the wind would just blow it off the table again and spill it or tip it over. And so yeah, I've got to go through, unpack all of them, wipe them all off, see which ones are damaged, reorganize them after I clean out the boxes themselves.
Now, hey, did I break one of the canopies?
No, not quite. We ended up taking down the canopies while the wind was trying to blow them away. I mean, we calmed down a little bit enough that we thought, okay, we can put this one down quick. And so one of them folded up fine. And then it seems like the other one, while we were trying to, you know, usually we clean all the tables off and put the stuff in boxes and then put the boxes away. And then you take the canopies down because otherwise everything's in the way. So we had to try and lift the canopy up over some of the tables to carry it out of the way to where we could collapse it. And the wind was fighting us. Yeah, it looked like it was bending. And in the end, I think it was fine. It collapsed okay, and they both put away okay. But yeah, it was chaos in all directions as people were scrambling to catch all their stuff and throw it in boxes and put it away. I had a little shelf system, four plastic shelves and four plastic tubes to connect each shelf. And as I was, you know, that blew over, and you know, one of the tubes popped out and started rolling away. So I'm trying to disassemble it and catch them all, and I honestly haven't checked yet to make sure I even have them all. I only had one, but the guys next to us had a couple of them, and I know I saw some of their tubes rolling away. I mean, who knows how much, if people lost stuff like that, just it was such a powerful breeze. And it also only lasted like 10 or 15 minutes, right? But it caused so much chaos and destruction. Hopefully not too much of my stuff was damaged, but that Pop Vinyls guy, I think he said he was just guessing off the top of his head, $200 or $300 worth of damage to the Funko boxes. And it seems like those kind of collectors are a little bit picky about the condition of their boxes. And so they're essentially garbage, or sell them to kids who will open them, I guess.
That's too bad. That's a really nice guy, despite the
fact that he sells Funkos.
Right.
We have a well-known Funko prejudice.
Yeah, so I had to make two trips. So I raced to the storage unit and then realized I didn't have the key.
Oh, no.
And so I just unloaded everything at my storage unit, and that's where I could hear the damn football game. And I called my mom and said, hey, did anything blow over? The wind? You know, because sometimes the wind will blow over, like, my nephew's basketball hoop. And if it blows the wrong way, it'll land on a car and scratch it or smash it or dent it. And she said, no, there was no wind. There was nothing. I was just like, what? We had a mini hurricane. Anyway, so yeah.
Just a microburst there where we were.
It just happened to be where we were. We ended up unlucky in more than one way. But, you know, we're already pot committed, as they say, yeah. So to do the next one. So,
well, hopefully the weather will be cooler, and maybe we'll get the college students this time, and they'll bring some money. But maybe we need to take that one guy's description of the, you know, the spending habits of people to heart, and next year do these in the spring and take the summer off and then do them again at the fall. I mean, I guess it depends on how this November one goes.
Yeah, well, we never want to repeat the 104-degree day one again, because not only did nobody show up, but we lost merchandise. Things were ruined. Although I think you still managed to sell one of those Jurassic
parts. I sold two of the three, yeah. But the trays just shrank, and all the accessories are running around loose. Also, that one Fortnite figure I have. I've got three or four figures that I really just need to open and put them in plastic bags, because it looks less bad. It looks intentional to have it loose in a bag rather than have everything flying around inside the package, because the inner tray has just shrunk and
melted away to nothing.
Anyway, I thought that that was worth talking about because it's something that we had never seen before. There was a little bit of wind the very, very first time. The
very first one.
And it tipped over the guy that was selling St. Taylor Swift posters. It tipped over his canopy, and you know, but he was selling posters, which is paper. So it's understandable that the wind would grab that stuff and, you know, try and take it. But these were all objects and canopies that were weighted down. And I didn't see the poor lady, but according to the organizer, you know, she was in tears and this guy was demanding that she pay for the damage. And
sounded like he was being totally unreasonable.
And he not see what had happened? Did it not affect him? Because it was crazy. You know, it's the sort of thing that you see in hurricane footage where the reporter is barely able to hold on to his microphone. Well, maybe not quite that bad, but you weren't able to hold on to your enterprise. And, you know, that's not a euphemism. Anyhow, that's it. Thank you for joining me and talking about this again.
Absolutely. We'll have to do it again if something interesting happens.
Like us making $1,000 a day.
That'd be great. Right now, I'd settle for making $200.
That is very sad. Yes, okay. Well, bring your kids plenty of toys to be found at the next one. I've been Rich Outfield.
And I've been Ryan. I don't have a catchy tagline.
Good night.
Good night. I picked up that something
of it. I could see the outcast was produced.
Thanks, Sean. You okay?
Rish, lad. I can't go on. I just can't do the Creative Commons bit this episode.
Well, why is that?
I haven't the energy.
Hey, that's not what my mother said last night.
Ah, Rish, that joke is so tired. Tired like me.
Well, would it help if I did the Creative Commons license this episode?
Oh, it certainly would.
Okay, what do you normally say?
Something like, the Rish Outcast was produced under a Creative Commons, no derivatives, 3.0 license.
All right. And how do I explain what that is?
Just say that it means you can listen to and download the file, but you can't try to sell it or use it as your own.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, then, at that point, I usually insult you. And, to a lesser extent, the audience.
Whoa, really? And they're okay with that?
Oh, yes. They love it, in fact.
Fake Sean, are you sure you want me to do this thing?
Oh, please. It's just so tedious. And I've done it hundreds of times now.
Well, technically, you've only done it a couple of times. I just run them over and over and over and over and over.
What?
And over and over and over.
Is that true?
Well, yeah. You know, I'll probably just edit down what you just told me and make it look like you said it.
You bastard!
Well, I'm sorry, folks. I'll never forgive you for this.
9.
I mean, lots of people heard us play in Lavenlay and at Dandelay during Lupercacia. What the f***?
Why, I even noticed the almanac on the mantelpiece. Why, I even noticed the almanac. Almanac. Why, I even noticed the almanac. Why, I even noticed the almanac on the ba- Why, I even noticed... Why, I even noticed the almanac. Why, I even noticed the almanac on the mantelpiece.
Araceli still felt bad about the way things had come within an eyelash. Billie Eilish. The way things had come within an eyelash width. Araceli still felt bad about the way things had come within an eyelash. You said eyelash again. Araceli still felt bad about the way things had come within an eyelash width of ending between them. To the south, he could just make out the rock formation that marked the caves where Elsbeth's Kreisha were dining. The caves where Elsbeth's Kreisha, the caves where Elsbeth's Kreisha, the caves where Elsbeth's Kreisha were denning. She stood up from the seat and reached for the stall door. Her hand was clenched in a tight fist, and it took her a moment to get it to loosen enough to unlock it.
Wow, that's really good.